Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and recognizing, you know, how important this issue is to you and to, you know, our colleagues. I would again say that I feel like the Washington experience shows some both positive aspects and some very negative aspects. As I said, our shellfish industry has done tremendous work, and while most people in this Washington wouldn't know a darn thing about a gooey duck, I guarantee you the Asian market is consuming it at a very high price. So there are benefits, but Chairman Julius's comments show the great risk and how we didn't have an appropriate response from NOAA, and that in a bipartisan way, if I'm correct, Mr. Chairman Julius, I think it was the Republicans who led the way in our state legislature to just shut down the non-native aquaculture that existed in our state. I mean, and the reason is we have more than 15,000 fishing jobs, and we have recreational fishermen, and they weren't having it. They just weren't having it. And so I guess I'd go back to you on this point about the risk to the fishing economy that exists in both tribal and non-tribal parts of our region, why they felt so threatened by this collapse and catastrophe, and why those fish, those non-native fish, were such a threat to the already endangered runs of salmon.
Yeah, it's quite broad what led up to it in this legislation. Sport, state, and tribal fishermen struggle right now. Underfunded hatcheries have produced and provided for a long time, and now you're seeing a major cut in hatchery funding, while tribes have severely increased funding, or heavily increased funding, trying to build and continue to build the hatchery runs. So when the cleanup took place, sport fishermen, when we arrived on site, sport fishermen were notified before everyone, including tribal fishermen. Their attempt to pull these out of the water was unsuccessful because they have fed on, I'm not sure for lack of better terms, a cat food form all their lives. So that's all they'd known. They didn't. They adapted after a couple of weeks when they were caught in rivers, 25 miles up local rivers. They've figured it out how to hunt after a short period of time, but immediately after the collapse, they couldn't hook them. So for many reasons, I think leading up to this, look at the situation with the orcas and the southern resident killer whales. There's a major, we're at a major tipping point right now for the survival of the Salish Sea as a whole, all that call it home, and the rivers, the health of the rivers and the tribes.
Thank you. And so, do you have any idea how many people work at that particular Cook site?
I want to say it was 58 maybe, or total.
Yeah. So 58 people versus 15,000, and that's not even including, you know, the diversity of our fishing economy downstream. Okay. So, one thing I wanted to say, Dr. Durima, so this is why we want money for stock assessments. This is why we want better fisheries management. I don't agree that we can't do better on creating more wild fish. We already heard about the hatchery programs. This is going to be a challenge. It's not an either or question, but we shouldn't be negligent in understanding the risk that this poses to our native sources of salmon in the Pacific Northwest, which is just vital. I can't even say how vital it is to the Northwest economy, and to say nothing of the larger economy in Washington, Oregon, and Alaska. So one thing I've also been impressed with is this issue, what I would call just scraps, the notion that the Trident seafood industry has now created a seafood pasta that's 10 grams of protein, or the fact that they're using the whole fish in fish powder, which I think we need to do a little bit more research on as we look at fishing protein issues on a global basis. Why shouldn't we just up the R&D budget on all of these things in addition to this discussion we're having today?
Thank you, Senator. I think you're absolutely right to point out that it isn't fully an either-or situation. our approach to seafood competitiveness and trying to improve the prospects for U.S.-produced seafood is a holistic approach. It involves ways in which we can enhance output from our wild capture fisheries. You pointed to several very important things that we can continue to work on, full utilization of the product. There are also issues around underutilized species. There's areas where we are capturing under quota, so we're not AR fishermen or not selling at a level that is sustainable. All of these things are very, very much a focus of the National Marine Fisheries Service and are complement to our focus on aquaculture. We do believe on a global basis, looking fundamentally at supply and demand, that the amount of increased wild capture output is not going to be sufficient to meet demand, either U.S. or globally. And a balanced approach that can foster really responsible aquaculture, that can deal with risks like the escape risk that you've pointed to, through close industry-government collaboration, improved engineering, risk management techniques, as the chairman pointed out, species selection. All of these kinds of issues are ways that governments can collaborate with industry to reduce the risk of these kinds of problems. In fact, for the countries that do report escapes, like the U.S.
I'm over,
and Canada, I'm very sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm over my time, so I want to let my colleagues, but I just want to make clear, too, that I'm also a believer in exporting Magnuson-Stevenson as a policy around the globe. If we're going to embrace this notion of aquaculture, we should also be embracing that the rest of the world could do very well, and we could benefit from it as well, of helping them understand fisheries management. What is sustainable fisheries management?
Senator, I couldn't agree more. We do seek to do that, and we would love to see the U.S. get in a position of being able to do the same for the aquaculture sector. Set a high bar, sustainability-oriented, and hold the world to that standard.
Thank you.